You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Happy to be joining you on a Thursday edition of the program. We got a great show coming up for you as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes will join me coming up in just a moment. Andrew on the other side of the glass, not only today, but also tomorrow as well. Back to back Andrews today and tomorrow. Mm-hmm. How are you?
I'm good. I'm pretty tired, but that's here nor there. I'm here working, and that's what I'm getting paid to do.
That is very straightforward.
It's been a weird day for me. It's been a really weird day.
All right. That's all.
Yep.
That's all we need to know.
Yep.
All we need to know. All right. Mark, how are you? Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Good afternoon, Scott and Andrew and everyone. And I don't know if, Andrew, your day is weirder than mine. I just spent $1,600 on my vehicle.
Well, yeah, it's not that weird. Nope.
All right.
You
all
win. Right. Well spent, though, by the way, correct?
Yeah, let's hope so.
Well spent money.
Yeah.
Well spent money. We got a great show. Rob Gray is going to join us coming up in about 25 minutes or so. Iowa State opening Big 12 play on Saturday night. They will take on the Houston Cougars down in Houston, Texas. Well, we will talk about that. We'll talk about the undefeated start for the Cyclones and what is on the horizon possibly, and how things have evolved for Iowa State so far this year. We will do that with Rob of the Gazette and Cyclone Fanatic coming up in just a little bit. You got Thursday night football coming up tonight. The Giants and the Cowboys. I believe the first Cowboy game on a Thursday night on the road for Big D. We'll see how they will operate at the land of the Giants coming up this evening. New York looked very good last Sunday in their win against Cleveland. Dallas at home, not so good the last 2 weeks. So should be an intriguing game coming up tonight. 319-366-1600. That is the text line, 319-366-1600. That's the phone line as well. If you'd like to pick up the phone and give us a call, that is also 319-366-1600. Coming your way, 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker on this Thursday edition of the program here today. And we start things off today, Mark, with a little basketball news. Yes, we will get to last night and everything that happened in the state of Connecticut in the WNBA playoffs. But we start with college basketball. Of course, yesterday we learned that the ticket situation is sold out again for the University of Iowa women's basketball team. And today the Big Ten announced, the coaches and the media announced their, and as Mark's favorite time of the year, one of his favorite times of the year anyway, preseason all Big Ten and the top five that they are predicting the way that everything is going to shake out for the 2024-2025 season. And a mixed bag, if you will, I think, Mark, as far as the Iowa women's basketball team is concerned. Good news and, you know, I'm not going to say bad news, but good news as far as the individuals are concerned, and at least in a lot of people's minds, puzzling news as far as the order of prediction and the order of finish is concerned.
Well, Iowa is not considered to be in the top five in these predictions. People dispute that. We'll see. It's obviously going to be a different conference with new members, and the target will not be on Iowa's back this season. That's going to be totally different. Iowa will have a new coach. Will not have Caitlin Clark. It does have a couple high-profile incomers. And Iowa has two on the what's considered to be the preseason All-Big Ten team, as does USC and UCLA, considered the two of the front runners.
UCLA and USC, you hit it. The newcomers into the Big Ten are predicted first and second. Juju Watkins, the preseason Big Ten Player of the Year. As that, and not a big surprise right there, but as far as the Hawks are concerned, one newcomer and one veteran have been at least named preseason All-Big Ten by the coaches and the media. Lucy Olson, of course, competed in her first three seasons for the Villanova Wildcats, had some very gaudy numbers in the Big East. She brings her talents to Iowa City. Is she going to be a Caitlin Clark? No, she's not going to be a Caitlin Clark. Please don't expect her to be a Caitlin Clark, Hawkeye fans. That is undue pressure on that young lady, but she is preseason All-Big Ten. And then former Cedar Rapids Washington Warrior Hannah Stolke, also named to the preseason All-Big Ten list. And, of course, all that did was fuel the fire for a lot of people on social networking, Mark, because how in the world can Iowa have two preseason first-team All-Big Ten performers but not in the top five?
Because it's a team game, plain and simple. And I think it's nice preseason honors for the two Hawkeyes. And I think Iowa's going to have a nice competitive team, perhaps another NCAA tournament team. But once again, it's not considered to be the favorite. Iowa will beat some teams. It will be predicted not to beat. By the way, Juju Watkins and USC go to Carver Hawkeye Arena in February. That'll be a huge draw. Well, all of them are. They're all sold out, right?
Right.
So that'll be a big attraction. Let's put it that way. But I think it's going to be a very entertaining league.
It's going to be a very good league. It's looking at Iowa, and granted, it's only September 26th. Practice is underway, though. Keep that in mind. That got underway this week for the men's and women's basketball teams around the country. This is going to be such a different season, and we'll talk about it a lot more before we get to the opening tip-off of Iowa women's basketball, Mark, but You get a season like Iowa had a year ago, and not even talking about on the court, but just everything off the court and how much the Iowa women's basketball team had to go through last year. When you talk, I mean, talking with several members of the team, one of the coaching staff, et cetera, to just know what they had to go through last year. I mean, just listening to one of the people talk about it for 20 minutes, I felt exhausted. I can't imagine what they would go through, especially on the road, and just all the hoops they had to go through. Not going to be nearly like that this year, and I think that's okay with everyone. You get a Caitlin Clark coming through, possibly once in a generation. She's a generational talent. There's no doubt about that. Everything that they had to do with Caitlin Clark on the team, it's going to be back to a little bit more normalcy this year, if you will. I say that because there are going to be 15,000 people at Carver Hawkeye Arena for every home game, but it's going to be a little bit more normal for Jan Jensen and the rest of the Hawkeyes this year. They might be able to actually go out and get a pizza or something like that without having to make arrangements 3 weeks in advance to try to get enough security to try to get them from point A to point B. It's just going to be a different year for Iowa women's basketball this year.
Well, it's been unprecedented a couple of years with Caitlin Clark and Martin and Gabby Marshall and all the rest. They were rock stars for 2 years and earned their way with two Final Four appearances, national championship game performances. And one thing I think is beneficial to this team is that players like Stolke, Taylor McCabe, Affolter, Addison O'Grady, others have all experienced that. And Lucy Olson coming in as one of the nation's leading scorers last year. This is not going to be a bad team at all.
No, it's not. It's not. Keep in mind the Big Ten, though, with the addition, and that doesn't include Oregon. Oregon's got a very solid women's basketball program. That's an NCAA team in the past handful of years and beyond. Not to mention USC and UCLA coming in. So it is going to be, it's always been a tough league. Maryland has everybody back for Brenda Freeze. Ohio State, they are in the top five. Indiana is in the top five in what the Hoosiers have done as of late. So you got to think Hawks were probably sixth or seventh in there. 57-91 on the text line. You could argue that a Folter deserves a mention as well. Yeah. Came on as of late last year and was a solidifying force to help Iowa get to the national championship game.
Well, was there 10 members of the preseason All-Big Ten team? Something like that. So she'd have to be in the top 10, 12, whatever it was.
Still a good player.
Yeah.
Still a very good player. 319-366-1600. Justin, if you saw, I'm sure you saw Justin's text, Mark. He has sympathy for you with your car situation.
And I have sympathy on his daughter's car.
I've been there, except with sons.
Justin, it's always the labor. It's not the parts, right? Okay.
Very true. Very true. But thank you to all the mechanics out there. We could not keep America running without you out there. Because as Mark and I talked earlier today, I could not make a major repair on my car if I had to.
Especially if you have a newer vehicle these days.
That's computers.
Yeah.
That's all computers out there. So there you go. There's the Iowa women's basketball situation. Last night, Caitlin Clark, her final game in a long, long span that started with the crossover at Kinnick way back, Mark, in October of a year ago. It's almost been 11 straight months that Caitlin Clark, among others, we'll say among others, have played. The Indiana Fever season coming to an end last night, losing to the Connecticut Sun in the best of three. They fall 2-0. Looked good for Indiana at the beginning. Caitlin hit her first 2 3-pointers of the ball game, then unfortunately went 1-for-10 after that. Still, Indiana was right there at the end. Just could not get the big bucket, and Connecticut did. Salted it away at the free throw line, and the Fever season and Caitlin Clark's tremendous rookie season comes to an end.
Well, I don't know. I recall watching the first 2 or 3 games the Fever played, and I'm saying to myself, this is a bad team. This is a really bad team. But to the Fever's credit, finished 20-20. Clark had a very solid year. And Kelsey Mitchell and Aaliyah Boston and Georgia Hall even upgraded their play. And this is a very competitive, dangerous team going into the playoffs, but couldn't pull off a victory in Connecticut. It was a good game last night. But, yeah, Clark played 81 games between Iowa and Indiana in the past calendar year, and that's a lot. Others play a lot, too. Every number one almost every number one draft pick who played for a college team that went any distance in the NCAA tournament and played regularly in the WNBA is going to play 70-some games. Now, that's a lot. It's a transition year for those players who are coming out of the college ranks and going into the WNBA almost immediately, and it ends up being a very long season. But I think Clark, leading the league in assists, one of the top point scorers. She did lead the league in turnovers by a wide margin, nearly led the league in technical fouls. You can go back and forth on pros and cons, but there are far more pros than cons on Caitlin's year, I think.
And now a much, much needed rest. She is not going to go play in Europe or anywhere like that, so the next time that she will take to the court will be in early April next year, officially, unless something changes, but I don't think that is going to be the case. Going to play a lot of golf, she says. So anyone in around the Indianapolis area, don't play Caitlin for money because she's competitive and she's a good golfer and she's only going to get better if she starts to concentrate on a lot out there. Yes, and besides the usual shrieking about the lack of officiating, and that has become old after 40 games and plus, the WNBA does not need to expand the playoffs in the first round to a best of five, et cetera, et cetera. Going up, playing a 40-game season, the second round is best of five. The finals are a best of five. You know, you can't have possibly the playoff run being half of what your season is nearly. So that's the way it always has been, and I don't foresee it changing, at least in the near future. Indiana got better, as you mentioned. You give Indiana a good draft next year, somebody to go along with Leah Boston and Caitlin Clark and Kelsey Mitchell. Indiana's got something for the future. So
I think so, too. But I think what needs to happen for the commissioner of the WNBA and everyone else is for the Caitlin Clark hatred or jealousy, whatever you want to call it, and the racial comments to stop. Racism is so prevalent, at least the allegations of such, in this country. It doesn't need to be in the WNBA. And I think it has a lot to do with jealousy. Alyssa Thomas of Connecticut called out Fever fans yesterday for unacceptable behavior in her mind towards her during the game last night. Clark kind of had words with a courtside fan, a man who was pulled from his seat, talked to by security. I think he did go back to his seat, but there was that as well. I have no idea what the guy said, but it kind of got under Caitlin Clark's skin for a little bit. And then all the other comments, Carrington from Connecticut poked Clark in the eye the other night. And Clark took the high road, as she has many times, and said, not a big deal. It's a basketball play. And topic for another day. Let's keep fingernails to maybe a half an inch, not 4-inch fake nails, Miss Carrington and others, because that's pretty dangerous. But why do I notice that sort of thing?
I don't know. Because it's there, man.
Bottom line is that fans apparently have been very, very vocal, not just towards Caitlin Clark, but to other players. And maybe those players that have called out Caitlin Clark. I don't know, but that needs to stop.
The pettiness in this league needs to go away.
Oh.
It really, if this league wants to be taking the next step, and to be in the discussion along with, you know, Major League Baseball, the NHL, et cetera, this pettiness needs to go away. And I don't know if it will. We'll see. Now, I do agree with 86-83. Now, they say the first round should be in the best of three. First game at the team with the best record. Second game, the other team gets to host, and if there's a third game, it goes back. Now, they haven't done that in the past, Mark, because of financial constrictions. Let's face it.
It may eventually get to that, because imagine if Connecticut and Las Vegas faced each other in first round. It's a cross-country trip. The WNBA, up till this year, hasn't made any money. So I understand that part of it. But I think it will get to that point in the future.
I would agree. And that I would like to see that change made. If they are doing charters now, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, it's time to go to Indiana. Should have hosted game number two. Game number three, go back to Connecticut. So 319-366-1600. Before we get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update for you, which we will coming up here in just a little bit. And don't forget our Emil's Hideaway pick six coming your way tomorrow. Chance for one of our listeners to get a $30 gift card to Emil's Hideaway. We must say a tearful goodbye to the Oakland Coliseum. Let's face it, it's the Oakland Coliseum. It's been known as other mantras over the years, but it was built as the Oakland Coliseum. It will always be known as the Oakland Coliseum. Today, more than likely, Mark, the final game, probably the final athletic event ever to be held at the Oakland Coliseum, as the A's are playing the Texas Rangers right now. The Raiders have left a couple years ago to go to the glitz and glamour of Las Vegas. Oakland is allegedly going to Sacramento before they head to Las Vegas. So this is it. 56 years for the Oakland A's coming to a close, at least the home portion, it sounds like, today, and some great memories over the years at the Oakland Coliseum.
Great players, great managers, World Series championships, but there were the low points as well. Many games played in front of families and friends when the athletics were not very good, but nearly six decades in Oakland, and now it's over today. Barry Zito, the left-hander, sang the national anthem today, I understand.
Yep. Yeah, I think Spencer's going to have it later for you, as a matter of fact.
Outstanding.
Spencer on Sports coming up after us from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. Yeah, so, I mean, you go back to the Charlie Finley. You talk about highs and lows all together. I mean, the A's were in the early 1970s, Mark. You and I remember that. They were the team. With a young Reggie Jackson, Catfish Hunter, Vida Blue, Joe Rudy, that club, Sal Bando, all around. That was just a great team and a fun team. But a team that didn't stick together because the owner of the A's, Charlie Finley, did not want to pay anybody. They all eventually left one by one. And then it was the Bash Brothers coming a little bit later on to rejuvenate things in Oakland, and then Moneyball came later. So you've seen all iterations of baseball over the years associated with the Oakland A's.
And didn't the Raiders used to play in that stadium as well?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, they did.
So it's seen many, many big games, big-time athletes and whatnot over the years. And very soon, now this afternoon, the gates will close.
Probably for a final time. Probably for a final time. 319-366-1600. A lot of people talking about WNBA officiating now. Exactly what you wanted, right, Mark?
Well, I agree with them. Officiating needs to be upgraded. You need to be as consistent as possible. And we saw in that game last night between the Fever and the Sun, Caitlin Clark getting hammered on a drive to the lane. And she's complained, and others have complained about no calls on her. But I'm here to say that if you watch any WNBA game, and it's the same thing. Just folks around here are so protective of Caitlin Clark, they think she gets all the bad calls. She gets them, but not all of them.
The games have become so fast, and the players, I don't care if it's the NFL, down to the WNBA, to the NBA, they become so talented, so strong, and so fast, it is really, really difficult to officiate. And I am really, and you know, that's not a cop-out. It is just really tough. Imagine if you had to do that. I would not want to do that. Andrew is shaking his head. He does not want to do that.
No, catching it for some of the men's stuff in the NBA, like not everybody's looking in the same direction at the same time. And yes, I get that's why you have like the replays and all of that. But at the same point, sometimes you just get a really bad angle. And so the call is going to get
very true.
And either really bad or really well, depending on how it's seen.
Yep. I would agree. We're going to talk to Rob Gray coming up here in just a couple of moments. Bon Voyage to the Oakland A's. Mark's going to get you updated on afternoon baseball and the President's Cup as well with the Emil's Hideaway scoreboard updated this time, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from Lindale Mall, next to the Home Depot, and online at emilshideaway.com.
I'll start with the President's Cup. The United States leading the international team right now on the first day in Montreal. The U.S. leads in all five matches, three of them one up, two of them by two up right now. All five matches are still being played right now, one on the 18th hole. But once again, the U.S. leads 5-0 right now at this point. In Major League Baseball this afternoon, the Twins' hopes of making a wild card in the American League grew ever so dimmer this afternoon as Kansas City and Detroit both won. The Royals defeated Washington 7-4. Detroit beat Tampa Bay 4-3 with two runs in the eighth inning. And the Twins now must defeat Miami to be two back with three to play. Doesn't sound good. And another final this afternoon, Milwaukee defeated Pittsburgh 5-2, handing Cedar Rapidian Mitch Keller the loss. He is 11-12 on the year. And also in baseball, the Mets and Braves postponed yesterday and today because of Hurricane Helene. They will play, the Mets and Braves, that is, a doubleheader on Monday, which was the scheduled day off between the end of the regular season and the playoffs.
You didn't mention the White Sox score.
I thought you could get to that if you needed to, if anybody really needed to know.
They have a chance for their second sweep of the year. 7-0 White Sox.
Air Force and UNLV are going to remain in the Mountain West, as we told you yesterday. Each will be paid a $25 to $30 million bonus for making that decision. And Yahoo Sports reporting that the SEC and Big Ten athletic directors are scheduled to meet next month in Nashville. Among the topics are the college football playoff format, scheduling, and the fallout of the impending House versus NCAA ruling related to NIL, and maybe leading to a possible non-NCAA enforcement arm. We'll have to follow that.
We will follow it closely, and if I had to guess, that would be the first building block for your non-NCAA Power Four establishment of whatever head is going to be coming from that, whatever committee or whatever organization is going to be formed. So I think that is going to be the first step in that. It's too bad we are not going to know the baseball schedules for the playoff games more than likely until late Monday night, with the games possibly starting Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah.
And there's nothing baseball can do about it. I mean, there's no good answer. There's no perfect scenario when a hurricane interrupts the season like it is in Atlanta right now. We just feel hopefully everybody stays safe from the hurricane, and yeah, we'll just deal with it. All right, Rob Gray joins us when we return here on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and we're going to have plenty of sunshine today. Temperatures are going to be around 80 degrees and humidity will be low. As we head into tonight, we'll have clear skies and drop down into the low 50s. Tomorrow and Saturday, we'll have a mix of sun and clouds with temperatures near 80 once again. Sunday and Monday, humidity creeps up a little bit. We'll have plenty of sunshine. Temperatures will be in the low 80s, and then some cooler air moves in by Tuesday. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Are you ready to take a sweet trip down memory lane? Come on, let's head straight to the bake sale, only at Quickstar. Craving those fresh, oven-baked cookies like Grandma used to make? The Quickery's got them. baked with love and a touch of that old-fashioned goodness. In a rush, grab a muffin for just $1.19. A perfect on-the-go treat. From glazers to cake donuts, indulge at the bake sale. So what are you waiting for? Treat yourself only at Quickstar.
Are you an outside salesperson stuck in a job taking you nowhere? Do you know you could be doing better if given the right opportunity? Hi, this is Jim Lobato, General Sales Manager for 1600 ESPN. We're looking for the right person to join our sales team. If you're a President's Club caliber salesperson with a track record of success, our fun, fast-paced, creative environment might be a perfect fit for you. Use your talents where there's no cap on your income or limits on your success. Isn't it time you started getting paid what you're worth?
Call 1600 ESPN or email jim@kzia.com. Equal opportunity employer.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
Mom, meet Sarah.
From first time Nana moments.
Yeah, welcome to Flight 101.
To annual girls trip moments. Your can't miss moments are worth protecting against RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60 plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at vaxassist.com.
So where should we go next?
Sponsored by Pfizer.
Home ownership. At Progressive, we know it's part of the American dream. It's majestic golden eagles and other less majestic birds taunting you through the baseball-sized hole in your new windows. It's soaring guitar solos performed through faulty wiring in your garage, which subsequently erupts into flames. It's also round-the-clock protection when you bundle your home and auto with Progressive, which can help keep the American dream of homeownership alive and kicking. America. Get a quote at Progressive.com.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states.
We are back on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN. Eastern Iowa's home for sports. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Andrew, all with you here today. Don't forget Spencer on Sports from 4 until 6. And Thursday night football, the Cowboys and the New York Giants from the Meadowlands tonight. That will be at 6:30 from Westwood One. Saturday night, it will be Iowa State taking on the Houston Cougars from down in the Lone Star State. Big 12 opener for the Iowa State Cyclones. And to talk about that, Rob Gray joining us, who covers Iowa State athletics for Cyclone Fanatic and the Cedar Rapids Gazette. And you can't paint a better start for the Iowa State football team right now, Rob. How can you?
You really can't, just in terms of the record for sure. And, you know, the comeback win at Iowa, you know, they've had some adversity and they've weathered it well. And looking to go 4-0 for the first time in 24 years. It's been a red letter first few weeks of the Cyclones for sure.
What was most impressive about last Saturday against Arkansas State, Rob? Because Arkansas State played decently at Michigan, but the Cyclones came in and very balanced in terms of total yards, passing and rushing. It seemed to do everything well.
Yeah, I think that's really, Mark, what was most impressive, that it was a complete performance. I mean, they were going up a team that was giving up 233 yards on the ground. Well, they got 237, and they ran basically at will. They won both lines of scrimmage, really never let – once they forced the first of four turnovers, when Arkansas State was driving a little bit down 14-0, I think they kind of took the heart out of the Red Wolves, you know, who scored a late touchdown just like they did at Michigan to lose that one 28-18. But, I mean, defense, special teams – offense. Coach Campbell noted after the game, even in this week, that they hadn't put four quarters together, and they really feel like they came close to doing that in that game. And frankly, those are games sometimes where Iowa State doesn't look that good. I mean, they might win 14, 21 points, but you know, to A, put that many points on the board and to bottle up a Arkansas State offense that can be dynamic at times, I think that was really impressive.
Matt Campbell, I think happy, impressed, but he said Tuesday there's a lot of work yet to do and a lot to prove for this Iowa State team. And I think that was you can expect that from the coach going into conference play, certainly. I think especially going up against one of the teams that is on the bottom of the Big 12 coming in and coming off a shellacking on the road to Cincinnati. I think Matt said all the right things, certainly, as he looks to go go by Dan McCarney on Saturday night for the all-time win mark.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I think also he's had a lot of respect for Houston's first-year head coach, Willie Fritz, who, of course, turned Tulane around, and that's a feat in itself. And he's, as offensive coordinator Taylor Mouser said this week, he's, quote, one F where he's gone, unquote. So Houston's always going to have some guys, you know, some talented guys. I mean, they've got back in Donovan Smith. They're probably going to play backs, but Donovan Smith, best of his young career, came in beating the Cyclones. Well, he didn't beat them. A 60-yard field goal did. The last time the Cyclones were double-digit favorites, I think they're minus 13 for this game. I think he's respectful of talent, and he's certainly respectful of what Coach Fritz is going to do in what might be a kind of long rebuild. But, Houston won at Oklahoma, lost 16-12. Yeah, the Sooners, you know, got beat pretty roundly by Tennessee last week, but they're still a top 25 team. So if you sleep on this Cougars team, they can bite you, and they're going to probably get more and more resilient. It's good for the Cyclones to get them early in the season, I think.
Rob, it seems like Matt Campbell may not have popped in the tape of a couple things, but probably reminded his team that, as he mentioned, Big 12 road teams were not very successful last week, and that fact that Houston somehow outgained and played Oklahoma and played the Sooners to a 4-point game.
Yeah, I mean, you can't, if the team's capable of doing that, they're capable of doing it any week. I mean, it's not necessarily just a one-off, the 34-0 shellacking, as you guys described it, at Cincinnati, notwithstanding. I mean, road games are difficult. Ironically enough, though, or coincidentally anyway, the Cyclones won their last four games on the road in conference play last season. Went 4-1 on the road, lone loss at Oklahoma. So they're seeking to win five straight road games, which is kind of wild when you think about decades of Iowa State football, where winning on the road, there were sometimes many, many long, long, long conference road losing streaks, and Campbell's team is kind of an outlier in that they've seemingly cracked the code in how to tune things out and perform well in hostile environments.
One of the things I think from the Arkansas State game, Rob, see if you agree with this, was the showing of the depth in the running back room. I mean, we know about Abu Sama, but Carson Hansen had a really good game. Jason Jackson and others. It just showed, besides Sama, what depth Iowa State has in that running back room.
No, I completely agree, Scott. And I know it looks like roles are sort of designated where Sama might be your every down back, but Hansen will get plenty of opportunities, particularly in the pass game and short yardage. And Jalen Jackson's a wild card there. You know, the transfer from Eastern Michigan, I mean, he's short, he's not heavy, but he's really quick. And he's put that on display, averaging, I think, over 5 yards a carry and just a really nice wrinkle. And the freshman, Dylan Lee, they'll probably try to play him, you know, less than, they'll probably preserve his red shirt with four games or less, but he looked really good when he was out there, scored a touchdown as well. And I think what's lost in this is, you know, Iowa State fans should be cautiously optimistic with the offensive line with depth pieces back in Jalen Travis and Daylon Hazer, who had missed the first few games. You know, looked really good. And I think there's a chance that room, the depth is there, that they could weather some injuries, which are going to come no matter what when you're playing in the trenches. And so a good synergy there, and I think really good for the Cyclones to be able to keep, you know, what should be their lead back, Abu Sama, pretty fresh, where I think he was carried 7 times, Hansen 8, you know, Jackson in the same vicinity as well.
Rob, I don't want to make too much of this because Rocco Becht is playing so well, but it appears that Connor Moberly has assumed the number two quarterback spot from a highly regarded J.J. Cole, who not so long ago was neck and neck with Beck. So what do you make of that?
Well, I make of it that Moberly A is really good as well. He didn't have the star power from the recruiting services quite that Cole had, certainly, but he was certainly highly regarded, heavily recruited. I think the element he adds is just really, really good quickness. He's very mobile. He threw the ball well on the move and in the pocket. You know, short sample size so far this season, but, you know, Campbell has said a few times that that's still a close race. JJ could win that number two spot back, but as you said, Mark, as of right now, Moberly, I think because of his ability to run and the throws he's been able to make, it is right now sitting in that number two spot, and I think they're pretty happy with him being there.
Rob Gray joining us here on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class at 3:45. Do want to give a quick traffic update. Traffic on I-380 northbound between exits 4 and 10 is at a standstill. So if you can avoid that area between North Liberty and Cedar Rapids, I would highly recommend you do so and find an alternate route. So again, that is northbound I-380 between exits 4 and 10. The defense, Rob. Great game against Arkansas State. So far, so good going into Big 12 play on that side of the ball, and going to get healthier as well in the next few weeks.
Yeah, Scott, I mean, I think that what's really stood out about the defense, and I think they're, you know, top 10 nationally in scoring defense, has been the improvement of the really banged-up linebacking crew. I mean, Kale Brazina, true freshman, came in and played extremely well right away. You know, he was the green dot guy, the in-helmet communication guy from his first snap. And the other guys, I mean, when you're down a budding star like Caleb Bacon, a guy who's played a lot of football, Will McLaughlin, and a guy they really like, Carson Willick, who was hurt in the spring, that's tough. And that group kind of took some lumps in the first 2 weeks against North Dakota and Iowa and really sort of come into its own. And that depth, couple that with the depth on the defensive line, you know, they got 4 sacks last week, so the pressure is definitely better this season. And the back end of that defense aren't a whole lot better in the country. And you've seen that with all 3 safeties having an interception and converted wide receiver and special teams star Darian Porter having 2 picks. So the key was they stopped the run against Arkansas State. Now, that's not a great rushing team, but obviously they were gouged by Iowa's Caleb Johnson, and North Dakota State put that near 12.5-minute drive on them in the season opener, mostly via the running game. So that's one of the most positive takeaways from that game, is this defense with improved linebacker play can really return to form and potentially be a really, really stingy rush defense, not just scoring defense.
Rob, I wanted to get your take on the Big 12 at this point, what you've seen, what your impressions are. Utah has been impressive. The last part of September, Oklahoma State and Kansas State may be an elimination game this Saturday.
Yeah, it's wild as usual, and I suppose if you cover any conference, you'd say the same thing. But you know, it really couldn't shape up better for Iowa State. I mean, you were looking at Oklahoma State and Kansas State being favored to win the conference above you, obviously Utah at the top spot. You know, Kansas has fallen to the wayside now, really struggling at 1-3 after a narrow loss at West Virginia. West Virginia only at 2-2. So outside of Utah, which has been, as you said, impressive, especially with Cam Rising being out since getting hurt again a couple games back, it's just shaping up really well for Iowa State to get the soft start. Again, Houston can get you, but you're on paper almost a 2-touchdown favorite. Then you get a struggling Baylor team at home who just completely collapsed at Colorado, as we all saw. So it shapes up really well before the trip to Morgantown the following week for Iowa State to really be on a roll and be in a position where even suffering a loss isn't devastating given what they've got on the back end closing the season with Kansas State at home and Utah on the road. Reverse those games, Utah's first, but the schedule is shaping up really well for Iowa State, as is what's going on in conference play early on.
With that being said, not so much for the team, because the coaches are going to keep, you know, the reins on them going one game at a time. But there's already people talking about a possible 10-0 going to Salt Lake City to take on Utah in week 11. That's with a win at Morgantown, which is not going to be very easy in the other games in the Big 12, including the game at Arrowhead. But Iowa State's kind of turning into the nation's one of the sexy college football playoff picks at this point.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the schedule and then you look at, you know, returning the most production nationally, it kind of makes sense. You know, it's so rare that they get through that non-con at 3-0, and, you know, largely because they usually lose to Iowa, although they've won two of the last three, and not so coincidentally, those are the times they've been 3-0 in recent seasons. You know, the talent is there. I mean, I think they know defensively, again, the struggles against the run game early on, notwithstanding John Haycock's track record says they're just going to get better and better unless injuries become too much to overcome, and they're still going to be darn good, top three in the Big 12. It's all coalescing for that to happen, but I think Campbell, I kind of tried to get at that with the question, you know, can it become easy to keep guys from wandering minds and thinking big picture, if we do this, if we do that, we could be here. And he said that's never easy, just like winning football games is never easy. But I think he recruits the type of guys. Rocco Becht was asked about that, and he said, we're not even looking at it. And if he says that, I mean, I believe him, unless I see evidence to the contrary. And they seem to be in that right mindset where they don't look ahead, ever. And if they can maintain that mindset and take care of business in these early season games, with that, you say, it's always tough to win in Morgantown, but the possibilities open up, and you don't have to think about them in advance.
Rob, really interesting story, and I'm not pandering just because you're on the show, but it was a really good story today in the Gazette on Dominic Orange, the defensive lineman. I think from the standpoint of this is a big guy who frequented fast food restaurants and this and that, and he's kind of maybe not totally but partially transformed himself and his body and his stamina. And I couldn't help but think how many other guys, especially bigger guys, have gone through that. That was an interesting aspect of the story.
Well, thank you, Mark. I appreciate that. And he is an interesting story. I mean, the four-star recruit by Rivals. I think he was three-star by the other services, but highly sought-after guy. Texas A&M was one of his offers. You know, big-time schools wanted him, and Iowa State got him. And he came in tipping the scales at 350-plus, down to 335 last season, 325 now. And, I mean, he looks like, you know, they call him, quote, big citrus, unquote. And he's still awfully big, but the body composition is completely different. And that's difficult for anyone to do, let alone a guy of his talent who's been able to carry that extra, quote, unquote, bad weight and still be highly productive. And, again, playing a D-tackle, you're not going to always put up big numbers. And he doesn't have a sack yet, but he does so much to disrupt what an offense is trying to do in the run game and the pass game by occupying blockers, that he's a huge factor for that defense. And it really, you know, fun young man to talk to, too, which never hurts as well.
No, good guy. Good guy. All right, Rob, thanks for the time. And we will talk again very soon. And we'll see if this thing keeps rolling.
Sounds good. Great to talk to you guys.
All right. Thank you. Rob Gray does a great job at Cyclone Fanatic and with the Gazette. Read his stuff at thegazette.com. We'll take a break, come back. Bowling Night in America wrap up for you and more when we come back.
Are you ready to build your company's dream team? Just like in sports, finding skilled players is essential for success. With Robert Half's winning combination of specialized recruiting professionals and award-winning AI, we'll help you find the MVPs and key role players who will have you hanging banners in the rafters. Because in business, it's all about having the experienced team on your side. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
It's the Disney Plus Blockbuster offer. For a limited time, get 3 months of Disney Plus for just $1.99 a month and watch huge hits like Inside Out 2.
Come on!
And Agatha All Along, streaming soon, plus Bluey.
Yes!
And Descendants The Rise of Red. Get 3 months of Disney Plus for just $1.99 a month. All of these and more, now streaming. 18 plus only, new and eligible returning subscribers only. After 3 months, Disney Plus basic with ads, auto renews, then current monthly retail price $9.99 per month until canceled. Offer ends 9/27/24. Terms apply.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym.
3:54, Spencer on Sports, coming your way next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. Again, a traffic update. Northbound 380 between North Liberty and the Swisher-Shueyville exit. That is stopped right now. Traffic at a standstill on the northbound side of that. So make some alternate plans for your trip home coming up this evening. Last night, it was a Wednesday. That means it's a bowling night in America, and a very special one. And this wrap-up brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. They are the home of bowling night in America. Mark, hats off to our friendly rivals, the Pin Pals. They have the jacket.
During the course of the season, there will be nights like this. The Pin Pals pounded the Rusty Nails 19-11 last night, leading 18-2 after two games. What got into you guys? God.
They bowled well.
At any rate, the Pin Pals securing the Schmiedium May City Bowl jacket for, we hope, a short time, but hats off to those guys. Well done.
I think Bill put it on last night at the end in a celebratory mood.
Fit into that.
One of them did. I thought it was Bill. Maybe it was somebody else. I don't know. But we were licking our wounds at that particular time. But, hey, we'll try it again next week. And if you're interested in some open bowling or, as I mentioned, still a little bit of time to get into some leagues, go ahead and give May City a call.
Yeah, first of all, I'll give the high performances last night. Brian Moore with a 280 high game for the night. Darren Bloomquist with a 783 high series. And if you need more information about what May City Bowl has to offer, you can give them a call, 362-0136, or visit the website, maycitybowlcr.com.
Yeah. Week 5 high school football getting underway tonight. City High and Kennedy. That should be a very entertaining game out of Kingston, and we'll be on the call of that one coming up a little bit later. Tell you what, President's Cup, can it be over after day one, Mark?
Well, it's now 2-0 U.S. And the U.S. leading in the other three matches. Five matches today, five tomorrow, and then it continues Saturday and Sunday. So, 5-0 be tough to come back from.
It would be very tough to come. I mean, mathematically, not impossible, but just knowing match play, how it works, if you're a golfer, it's going to be very tough for the internationals to come back. No, we're not going to eye poke the Pin Pals, says Cyclone Tim. We are not going to do that. We'll just try to win it back next time. Pick 6 coming up tomorrow. We'll take a look at the football weekend. Mark, have a great night, and we will talk to you at 3.
I will talk to you tomorrow.
You've been listening to The Gym Class right here on Eastern Iowa's Home for Sports, 1600 ESPN.
Tommy! I can't wait for golf this weekend, huh, buddy? Time flies. Love you, man. Oh, don't forget your knee brace again. We aren't in college anymore.
Moments together.